Persigo Press presents the Henry Rios Mysteries podcast. Hello, this is Michael Nava, author of a series of crime novels featuring Henry Rios, a gay Mexican-American criminal defense lawyer, and the producer of this podcast. Today we present Lay Your Sleeping Head, the first novel in the series. Lay Your Sleeping Head opens in the summer of 1982 in the fictional town of Linden, California, 30 miles south of San Francisco. Linden is the home of the prestigious university of the same name, founded in the 19th century by railroad tycoon Grover Linden. Henry Rios is a public defender, born and raised in a small town in California's Central Valley and from a working-class Mexican-American family. He is a graduate of Linden University and its top-ranked law school. In 1982, there is no internet. People smoke in bars and on airplanes. Most gay men are closeted, and no one has heard of AIDS. It's an America where 83% of the people identify as white, 85% as Christian, and 83% say that homosexuality is morally wrong. Ronald Wilson Reagan, who once declared that trees cause more pollution than automobiles, is the president of the United States. In this episode, as his investigation of Hugh Paris's death takes an unexpected turn, Rios finds himself drawing closer to Grant Hancock, Hugh's boyhood friend.
I came to in an alley with my back against a brick wall. At the end of the alley was a streetlight. A car rolled by. Someone had puked between my outstretched legs. I tasted the vomit in my mouth. Mystery solved. I looked at my watch. 1:45. I had left Grant's apartment almost 3 hours earlier. My head settled down. I tried to remember. A needle. I felt around my neck until I found the injection site. So that had happened. What else? Driving around, some guy asking questions, someone rooting through my pockets. I felt for my wallet. Gone. Keys. Gone. The only thing I had in my pocket was Grant's card. I struggled to my feet, stumbled toward the streetlight, and found myself on Folsom Street. A red light shone over a doorway. I made my way toward it. The doorway was covered with a black leather curtain, and above was a sign, Phoebe's. I pushed my way inside.
Hey, bud, you okay?
I've been mugged.
Shit, he's passed out.
Give me a hand. Let's lay him down here. You got some poppers? That'll wake him up.
Stop. Enough.
Can you sit up?
Yeah.
Oof, that was some entrance, stud. You know where you are?
Phoebe's gay bar, right?
Yeah, you said you were mugged.
Yeah, at my car near the Embarcadero. They drugged me, took my wallet and keys, and dumped me in an alley a couple of blocks away.
I could call the cops, but I gotta warn you, gay bars aren't high on their priorities. If they show up at all, they'll figure you're one of us and blow you off.
I am one of you, and I know all about how the cops treat us. Can you help me up? Ugh, thanks. Let me try calling a friend.
Sure. Have a seat at the bar. You want a drink?
Jack Daniels. Thanks.
Okay, I gotta clean up. Here's the phone.
Hello?
Grant, it's Henry Rios. Sorry to be calling so late, but after I left your place, I was mugged. The only thing they left me with was your card. I wonder if...
Are you okay? What happened?
A couple of guys came out from the park, drugged me, drove me around, took my wallet and keys and dumped me on Folsom. I'm kind of stuck here.
Where's here?
You know the bar called Phoebe's?
The leather bar?
Yeah. I managed to crawl in here. Could you...
Sit tight. I'm on my way. Hi, I'm Grant. Is Henry here?
Yeah, he's at the bar. You his boyfriend?
Just a friend.
Too bad. You make a hot couple. Henry, your pal's here.
How you doing? You all right?
A little shaken up. Thanks for coming.
I'm glad you called. I've always wondered what this place looked like on the inside. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed. I was expecting something more dungeony.
That would be the back room.
Did you call the police?
The cops aren't going to do anything.
You were mugged. That's a crime. Of course they're going to do something.
I didn't see the faces of the guys who assaulted me. Didn't see their car. What are the cops going to do? Take a report and file it away?
Okay. What can I do?
You can take me to the emergency room at SF General.
Are you hurt?
I was drugged. I want to know with what. They can run a blood screen.
Sure. You okay to walk?
Yeah, I'm fine. Let's go. Hey, Jack, thanks.
We take care of our own here. You two come back sometime and I'll give you a personal tour of the dungeon.
They draw blood?
Yeah, and they had a doctor check me out. I don't seem to be injured, but it's going to take a while before I get the tox results. You don't have to wait.
I'm not going to leave you without a way to get home. When we're done here, you'll come back to my place, get cleaned up, and see if your car's still there. Do you have a spare key?
In my apartment. In Linden.
I'll drive you there and back.
Don't you have to go to work?
The firm won't go out of business if I don't make my billable hours today.
It's really decent of you to go out of your way for someone you just met.
Well, we have the Hugh connection, and I like you. Anyway, it's easy to be decent when everything's been handed to you.
Meaning?
I've never been in here before. It's been an education. The cops brought in a guy in handcuffs bleeding from a head wound. Oh, and see that woman over there, sitting in a wheelchair talking to herself? Oh, that little boy with his mom. Reminds me of how sheltered I am. You do criminal law. You must see a lot of suffering.
I've seen my share. What kind of law do you practice?
Civil litigation.
Rich people suing each other?
Some of that. But most of our clients are institutions. Banks, insurance companies, corporations. Unlike other big firms, the partners count pro bono work towards your billable hours. So I've been able to work with the ACLU on a couple of cases. That's as down and dirty as it gets on Montgomery Street. Guys like you in the trenches every day must feel contempt for guys like me.
We all choose our own paths.
After we talked yesterday, I looked you up in the Bar Association directory. We were at Linden University the same time. You would have been a senior when I was a freshman. We probably passed each other on the quad, although I think I would have remembered you.
Yeah, not that many Mexicans on campus who weren't pushing a broom or mowing lawns.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant, I could use some coffee. I saw a machine in the corridor. You want some?
If you're buying, all I've got in my pockets is lint.
Be right back. Here, be careful, the cup's really hot.
This has got to be the worst coffee I've ever drunk. I looked you up in the directory, too. Your profile lists the Gay Bar Association. You're out at your firm?
I'm out everywhere. You seem surprised.
I guess I am. From what I know about the big firms, they aren't all that tolerant of us.
This is my second firm. I was fired from my last job for being gay.
You were? What happened?
The riot at City Hall after the Dan White verdict. Were you there?
I came up the next morning when the call went out for lawyers to represent the demonstrators who had been arrested. I drove by Civic Center. It looked like a bomb had gone off there.
Yeah, it was a battlefield. Broken windows, burned out police cars.
What does that have to do with you losing your job?
I was in my office the day the verdict was announced. I heard a couple of the other lawyers coming down the hall, laughing and joking. I stuck my head out and asked what was funny. One of them said, "They gave Dan White a slap on the wrist for killing the cocksucker." I went back into my office, closed the door, and turned on the radio. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. A first-year law student could have told you Dan White committed first-degree premeditated murder when he shot Harvey Milk. But the jury only convicted him of voluntary manslaughter. You know the expression, seeing red? I didn't know that actually happened until that day. My blood was boiling, and for a minute, all I could see was a red mist in front of my eyes. Meanwhile, it's all a big fucking joke to everyone else at the firm. I had to get out of there before I punched someone. I grabbed my coat and wandered over to Castro Street, where people had already started to gather. Eventually, we marched down to Civic Center. Thousands of us. I didn't throw rocks at City Hall or set fire to cop cars myself, but I cheered them on. I wouldn't have cared if they burned City Hall to the ground that night. I called in sick for the rest of the week and came out to everyone I knew. I told anyone who had a problem with it to fuck off. When I returned to work, I went to the senior partner himself and told him I wasn't going to hide in the closet for the firm anymore. He fired me on the spot.
You don't do things halfway.
Up until then, I'd done things halfway my whole life. Do you know what that got me? Half a life.
You told me earlier it was the thing with Hugh that kept you in the closet.
It was fear. Hugh blackmailing me didn't help. It just confirmed all the terrible things I'd heard about the lifestyle. But in the end, the only person who kept me in the closet was me. I was reading Hugh's journal when you called me.
It's tough reading.
Yeah. Especially the part about his grandfather raping him. When you told me he said that, I thought it was a load of crap. Something he said to get your attention. But the journal was obviously private, and the description of what the judge did to him, that wasn't fake. I've wondered how Hugh got to be so sexually experienced at 15. And the first time we were in bed, I was fumbling around, but he took charge and showed me how to do the things I wanted to do to him. He really knew his way around a man's body. But at the same time when we had sex, it was like he wasn't really there. Now I see why. It's horrible what that man did to him.
You said you clerked for his grandfather. How did that happen?
My dad arranged it. He's a lawyer too, past president of the Bar Association. Thought he was doing me a favor. It was the worst year of my professional life. The judge was arrogant, demanding, and belittling. Halfway through the year, when my fellow clerks quit. I mean, quitting a clerkship with a federal judge isn't something you do, but she'd had enough. I don't blame her. The judge was especially hard on her. The only reason I didn't get the full treatment from him is because he and my dad are friends. Well, not friends exactly, but peers.
Did Hugh talk about his family when he was a kid?
No. But Why would he? His dad had been institutionalized, his mom was a drunk.
If he didn't tell you that, how did you know that?
Our families move in the same circle, and it's greased by gossip. But no one ever said anything about what the judge did to him. If he'd told me any of this when I saw him, I might have been able to accept his apology.
Maybe he thought if he had told you, it would sound like he was making excuses. I think he was genuinely trying to take responsibility for what he did to you.
Those things I said to you about him earlier, that he used people? I'm sorry. I was remembering someone I knew a long time ago. Like you said, you knew the man he had become.
Well, to be honest, when you told me about prep school, I had to wonder how well I did know him. He was always cagey with me. I figured it was because the things he'd been through taught him to be distrustful of everyone. But maybe there was some manipulation going on there too. Not that I could blame him even for that. Like you said, it was how he protected himself.
Rios? Henry Rios?
Yeah, that's me.
You wanted to know about the drug you took.
I didn't take it. Someone injected me with it.
It was sodium pentothal. No long-term effects. You'll be fine.
Sodium pentothal? What is that?
Truth serum. Can you take me back to my car? My car's gone.
Are you sure this is where you left it?
Well, I'm still a little woozy, but yeah, this is where I parked. Oh, man, I'm fucked.
Hey, it's gonna be all right, Henry. Come up to my place, call the cops, and file a report. I know, you don't think they're going to do anything, but you'll need it for your insurance company.
Spoken like a lawyer.
It's my default. I bet it's yours, too. Let's go. You'll feel better after a hot shower and something to eat.
You're really nice.
Well, I can see what Hugh saw in you. Come on.
Yes, officer. I understand. I appreciate that. When can I get a copy of the report? Okay. Yeah, thanks.
What did the police say?
Not to hold my breath. My car's probably in a chop shop by now. What I don't get is why they shot me up with truth serum if all they wanted was to rob me.
Maybe they wanted your ATM code?
The knife in my ribs would have been enough to get that out of me. Ooh. Sorry.
Don't apologize. You must be wiped out. Why don't you clean up? We're about the same size. I'll give you something to wear. I didn't want to say anything before, but you have a little vomit on your pants.
Ugh. You're really seeing me at my best.
Come on. I'll show you where the bathroom is.
I took a long, hot shower. Grant had laid out a pair of Levi's, a rugby shirt, and pale blue Brooks Brothers boxers on his bed. I heard him on the phone talking to his office. I slipped on the boxers and sat at the edge of his bed. Oh, I was exhausted. I stretched out for a 5-minute nap. The room was dark when I woke up. He'd covered me with a soft blanket. Light seeped in from beneath the closed door. I got dressed and found him in the living room watching the evening news. Hey.
Hey there. How you feeling?
Better. How long have I been asleep?
A while.
Sorry about that.
Don't be ridiculous. You needed it.
Well, thanks. You still up for driving me home?
Sure. But I want you to eat something first. I've got a fridge full of takeout leftovers.
Food sounds really good.
Make yourself at home. I'll rustle you up something to eat. You want a glass of wine?
While he busied himself in the kitchen, I wandered around the apartment. On a bookshelf was the same small collection of gay novels I owned. A Single Man, Dancer from the Dance, Tales of the City. I remember going through Hugh's books in the forlorn cottage where he had camped out. Grant's apartment could not have been more different. A safe, warm place. I had just pulled out his copy of The Joy of Gay Sex when I heard him come up behind me.
Here's your wine. What do you have there? The Good Born is hidden in my bedroom.
I was snooping. Sorry.
Occupational hazard of being a lawyer. By the way, won't your office be wondering what happened to you today?
I'm not practicing at the moment.
Why?
The short answer is burnout. The long answer is, well, I'm still working out the long answer. Food?
Yeah, sure. Come and check out your food options. There's Thai, Italian, Chinese, and something I don't recognize, but it doesn't have a mold on it, so it's probably safe to eat.
You have such a grown-up apartment. I'm still using orange crates as bookshelves.
It's not my doing. My mom's an interior decorator. I get the stuff her clients decided they didn't want, after all.
The Hancocks have to work for a living?
Well, she doesn't do it for the money. It's how she expresses herself. You have something against rich people?
Behind every great fortune is a great crime.
Balzac, right? Well, there's nothing behind our money but hard-working immigrants a few generations back and some lucky investments. Anyway, my parents taught me the more you have, the more you have to give away. That's what I try to do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be a jerk.
I'm not saying that some rich people aren't dicks, but my folks never let my brothers and me forget that we didn't do anything to deserve our privilege. And that it is a privilege. My dad likes to remind us we're just members of the Lucky Sperm Club. What's your story?
Born and raised in the Central Valley. Working class Mexican family. I bet you're San Francisco born and bred.
Fourth generation. How could you tell?
It just seems to fit with everything I know about you so far. The job, this apartment, the Brooks Brothers boxers, the way you talk about your family. I'm not mocking you. It's a good thing to know you belong somewhere.
I do. This city and nowhere else. Everything I want is here.
I'm surprised there's no boyfriend.
Yeah, me too. For most gay guys, the city's a candy store. So many men, so little time. I like sex as much as the next guy, but my folks have been married for 40 years. And that's ultimately what I'm looking for. My folks worry about me ending up alone.
Why? Because, like most straight people, they don't think gay guys are capable of love?
No, nothing like that. They're totally accepting of me. I think it's because... Well, look at my older brother. Went to college, went into business, met a smart, beautiful woman. Got married, and now they have the most perfect baby girl in the world. My folks understand that world because that's their world. Our world, yours and mine, is outside their experience. They don't understand how we meet, how we pair up, and what keeps us together, if not marriage and children and family. And if I'm being honest, Henry, I don't understand it either. Do you?
There's no map for being gay. We're out in the weeds cutting our own road. But I think in the end, we want a lot of the same things as straight people.
What do you want?
I don't know, Grant. Until I met Hugh, I didn't even realize how lonely I was. And now, all I want is to find out what happened to him. You mind driving me back to my place now?
I'll just wash up and we'll be on our way.
Pull into my parking spot.
It's occupied.
That's my car!
What's going on here?
I don't know. The keys are in the ignition. Let's check the apartment. Stop. The door's wide open. Anyone in there? We're coming in.
Jesus, the place has been ransacked.
You've been listening to Lay Your Sleeping Head, a Henry Rios mystery. If you enjoyed this podcast, please spread the word on social media. We depend upon your support to keep this series going. For updates and behind-the-scene extras, visit us at our Facebook page, The Henry Rios Mysteries, or at michaelnavawriter.com under the podcast tab. We'd also love to hear from you. Message us on Facebook or email us at persigopress@gmail.com. That's persigopress@gmail.com. This is an abridged version of the novel, Lay Your Sleeping Head. You can buy the complete novel at Amazon. For this episode, our cast was Armando Rey as Henry Rios, Douglas Georgis as Grant Hancock, Sean Gerbo as the bartender, and James Warren Boyd as the emergency room nurse. Our director is Russell Kaltschmidt. Our sound engineer is Dave Peck. Music and sound effects were composed by Josh DeRosa. This episode was written and produced by Michael Nava. Thank you for listening.